The Lord is saying that some of you have waited for years for the fulfillment and the release of the promise. But God is releasing the word tonight. No more delays. No more delays. No more delays. No more having to wait. No more waiting. No more waiting. He is breaking the power of delay off of your life, off of your destinies. No more delay. No more delay. You're moving forward. This is a season of forward motion. It's a season of forward progression. It's a season of forward progression. No more delays. No more delays. And I see a traffic light, and it's red, and I see you as automobiles, and you've been waiting. It feels like you've been at this stoplight forever, but the light is turning green. God is saying, all things go. All things go. It's all systems go. It's time to go. It's time to move forward. He's releasing you from the place where you've been stuck. He's releasing you from that place you've been on hold. He's taking you off a hold. He's pushing the pause button, and he's taking you off of hold. You're not on pause anymore. As a matter of fact, he's pushing the fast forward button. He's pushing the fast forward button, which means you're going to make up for lost time in this season. He's preparing the heavenlies tonight. There was so much, even before we started singing about freedom, I just kept thinking, freedom, freedom. It's over there saying freedom. And then when they started out in that warfare and that drum, God was breaking. I saw chains being released off of your lives. I saw chains being released from you. And I saw things happening in the heavenlies. There is a breaking that's going forth over the heavenlies that has held back your destiny. It's held back provision. It's held back gifts. It's held back people. But in this season, as the warfare has been going forth and the praises of the Lord are lifted up and the worship, it's been breaking those areas of resistance. You're going to find in the days to come, the resistance is broken. In the past, you tried to do things and there was resistance, and you're going to say, wow, it's so much easier in this time. God's bringing the ease. He's bringing the ease in this season. It's not going to be all the warfare, pushing, pressing. Some of you, through this worship, you're going to find that there are generational things that have been broken off of you. Those familiar spirits that have been hounding you. It's a season God is releasing his people from the things of the past. He's releasing you from the past. And I feel the Lord saying, he holds your past against you. No longer. Don't let the enemy tell you. God does not hold your past against you. It's the enemy that holds your past against you. God doesn't hold your mistakes against you. It's the enemy that holds your mistakes against you. It's not God bringing to remembrance all your failures and wrong choices. That is the devil. Hey, we need to recognize God's voice from the devil's voice. Anytime it's accusatory, anytime you feel condemned, I'm telling you, that is never, ever God. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That means condemning sentence. You are not under a condemning sentence in Christ. You have been given your writ of freedom. It says all of our sins, failures, sicknesses, diseases, all our poverty was nailed to the cross. He took that writ that was against us and it was nailed to his cross. So that means any failures, any mistakes you've made, and the enemy brings those up, and you feel like you're still paying the consequences from those things. That is condemnation. That is the accuser, the brethren, who points out and accuses us. And the Lord is reminding us all of those things have been nailed to the cross. You are not under that condemning sentence any longer. The blood of Christ has washed you. You are free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free indeed. One day I was looking at that word and I broke it down to two words, indeed. Deed means actions. So those whom the Son sets free, they're free in their actions. We're free indeed. We are free in those things that we do, in our actions and moving forward. There's a freedom in those things. God is breaking off of us. And even tonight, that was a powerful word. I mean, I have to be honest with you, I was even resisting bringing that word forth. He's even removing the remembrance of those things. But you know what? That's what he was saying. So he has the power to do it. And I saw memories and things, and I saw the Lord just taking the blood and applying the blood. And it's the remembrance of those things are no more. You might recall that there was a season in your life, but it will be so far removed from you. It will be like someone else. It won't have the power to condemn you. It'll be like a movie you saw, a story you read about someone. And you will come to the point where you recognize that has nothing to do with you. Your past that's covered under the blood has nothing to do with you anymore. God is setting you free from your past tonight. This is a fact. If you live in the past, you will never possess your future. If you live in the past, you'll never have tomorrow. If you live in yesterday, you'll never fulfill your destiny tomorrow. We all have regrets. We've all made mistakes. And the Lord is bringing freedom here tonight. That's what we were singing about. There was something powerful going on in the Spirit tonight. How many of you felt that? Just that even there was a beat here that was just breaking something in the spirit realm over us. It was setting the captives free. God does not want us captivated any longer by our past. He wants us captivated by him fully, and that's it. Hallelujah. He's captivating our hearts. He's captivating us. I was reading in Song of Solomon earlier this evening, and it's that one that says, "Hide me in the cleft of your rock. Hide me. And let me see your face and hear your voice. For your voice is beautiful, is lovely, and your face is beautiful." Lord, your voice, it's lovely. And your face, it's beautiful. God, we are asking, hide us in the cleft of the rock. Hide us in the secret place of the Most High, that we will live from that secret place. Do you know it's possible to live from the secret place? It's possible. God's calling us up. I was reading this evening, he gave me Isaiah 60, and I'm just going to speak some things from Isaiah 60. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. I'm only opening my eyes. I am so out of it here. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to open my eyes here. Poor Matt, I was so out of it over there really focusing on something. And Matt touched me to give me the mic and I about jumped out of that chair. Hallelujah. I'm like, oh my God, I thought it was an angel. Oh, Jesus. Hey, I was ministering a few weeks ago in Salt Lake City, Utah, and if any of you know anything about Salt Lake City, it's the home of the Mormons. And so what happened was the Lord was just really messing. I mean, that one night, it was so strong, the glory, and I felt like I was in two places at the same time, and I was ministering. It was so supernatural. Well, then the next night, I'm just standing there. I got up, and I was so out of it, and all of a sudden, I saw an angel to my left out of the corner of my eye. And so what he was doing was, he was like making his hands go towards me. Well, I was getting so plastered. I had to get the CD to hear this. So I am so whacked, and he keeps blowing to me, and I'm talking to him going, stop it. No, not me. To the people. Send it to the people. So he's standing over there. I'm between him and the pulpit. So I moved clear over to my right to get as far away as possible, and the next thing I knew, he moved right here, right up against me. I'm like, no, move over. Now, all this is going on, and I have no clue. I had to get the CD, so I even heard what was going on. And I'm saying to him, no, you're too close. Move over. No, stop. Well, then he stopped for a minute, and I know this sounds weird, and I told this to Pearl and Matt, but all of a sudden, I could feel him poking my spirit. Now, I didn't feel him poking me like this, but it was like he was going through my body and was doing this to my spirit. Well, I was gone. I was laughing. And so finally, I was so out of it. I guess he figured whatever he was supposed to do, he did it. Because the next thing I knew, everybody started bursting out laughing. So I guess he started sending it that way. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you for the angels that are here. Lord, we just thank you for the resting of your glory in this place. We thank you for this glory company. We thank you for the glory that's on this company. Listen, God has great things for you, for each one of you. And you know what? There's lies about the British over in America. They say that you're all uptight, and we've been taught you're reserved. I was sitting here watching some of you going, boy, I wish I had a video. I would show them in America just how unreserved they are over here. Hallelujah. So in verse 60, it just says this. It says, arise. And in the Amplified, it says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to a new life. Listen, this is a season where arising out of the circumstances that have kept us depressed, that have kept us down and discouraged. God's breaking hopelessness and despair off of his people. We're arising out of that pit. We're arising out of those circumstances that the enemy has used to keep us down, and we are arising to a new life, and we are going to shine. Now, that word shine in the Hebrew, it means to radiate. What that means is it is light generated from us. We're not reflecting something. It's not a reflective light. You know, there's people that say, well, Jesus is the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N, and we're like the moon that reflects the sun. No, what God is saying is the glory, it is to radiate from outside of us. We're not reflecting him, even though we are a reflection of him in the earth, but that light of God inside of us wants to radiate. We're not just a reflection, we're a radiator of the glory, of the light. Arise and shine for with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It is saying the glory's already risen upon us. How many of you know that Jesus is the King of glory? How many of you know that we are in him and he is in us? Therefore, who is in us? Christ in us, the hope of the glory. So he is the King of the glory. It says in Psalms 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, for the King of glory is going to come in. He's in, baby. He's in. He's in us. He's with us. And now he wants to manifest through us. How many of you understand he's already in? He's in. We've lifted up our heads. We've lifted up our gates. And now the King of glory has come in. Hallelujah. And it says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. How many of you seen some darkness in the earth? How many of you seen some gross darkness on the people? Yeah, but this is the good news. When you see the darkness, okay, we see that. When you see the gross darkness, then what it's saying is, then the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Basically, let me give you my version of this. My version of this is, I totally forgot what I said. Sorry. Woo. It's getting a little strong up here. Sorry. So basically, what it means is this. We've seen the darkness. We've seen the gross darkness. Now we're going to see the glory. Now we're going to see the glory. And listen, it says it's going to arise upon you, and it's going to rise upon me. Listen, the glory basically means, in its most basic form, it means the manifest presence of God. It's the manifest presence of God. And out of manifest, out of that manifest comes manifestations. There are manifestations of the glory. That's where those signs and wonders and healings and miracles are going to be coming from. Listen, they are for every single one of you. I was in a meeting in Norfolk last Friday night, and after the meeting, I was laying in bed that night, just, you know, talking to the Lord about some things, and he said, Christina, I wish you could have seen the greatness that was in that room. Listen, God sees greatness in you when he sees you. And the enemy has robbed the destiny and the greatness of God's people. But God's going to restore it. This afternoon, the word was, he's restoring your true identity. Because the great one is inside of you. He lives inside of you. And he wants to manifest through you. He wants to reveal himself through you. You're going to go places and do things others aren't going to do. And therefore, you're going to be the one that God is going to use. The day of having to have the great man or great woman of God is over. It's not just for a few chosen ones. It is for the body of Christ. And if you are part of the body, if you're a born-again believer and his spirit is inside of you, then you qualify. You qualify. I feel the Lord challenging me with this to say this to you. Believe him for more. Expect more. Listen, we only get what we expect. So if you're not expecting anything, what are you going to get? Nothing. I feel the Lord just saying, it's time to turn up your expectation. How many times have you been in a circumstance where you felt the Lord saying, go pray for this person? And then the enemy comes in, and then comes that thing, well, what if they don't get healed? What if they do get healed? I was ministering in New Zealand a few years ago, and there was this woman I was staying with. And she had a broken foot. And she was hobbling around in so much pain, and she refused. It's been broken for 6 weeks. They had sheep and stuff. I think a sheep stepped on it and broke it. And do you know, she refused to go to the doctor, and this poor woman would have to go and say, I have to sit down. My foot is killing me. And so I said to her, you know, I believe God's going to heal your foot. She said, oh, no. And I said, what? You go to a church, and they preach healing, and they pray for the sick. She said, well, I went forward one night, and they prayed for me, and I didn't get healed, so I figured that was God's answer. I said, of course that wasn't his answer. So that morning, I'm getting ready to leave, and she's going to drive me to the church. So I woke up that morning and God gave me that scripture that when you're in a place and in a house and now in the place where you're staying and they are worthy, it says, and what that means is they've been a good host, you know, they bless you and things like that. If they're worthy to leave your shalom there, your peace. Well, of course, we know in the Hebrew, shalom means wholeness, wellness, nothing missing, nothing broken. And the Lord really highlighted that to me. So I went out and I said, you know what? I said, before I leave, I'm going to pray for you. She goes, no, that's okay. And I said, no, it's not okay for me not to pray for you. This is what we're going to do. I said, you're going to sit in that seat and I'm going to pray for you. I did everything but slap her down in that chair. So I finally convinced her very strongly and sternly to get in that chair. So she sat down and I took her foot. She goes, oh no, you're not going. I said, this is what God said. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You have something broken here. So let's just see, okay? So I took her foot and I put it in my lap and I started praying for her. Within like a moment or two, she went, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, it feels better. She got up and said, walk around. She started walking around. She goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's better. I can't believe it. The pain is gone. I can't believe it. Do you know, she took me to the church about a half hour later and I looked over in the corner at one point. She was still walking back and forth. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You know what? But the Lord, it had nothing to do with me. You know, we're not, nobody is special. Kevin Dedman that works there at Bethel, Bill Johnson and them, they are not special. They are just crazy enough to believe the scripture that says in Matthew 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. There's no special requirements for this except to be born again. So if you are born again, then you qualify. So for every one of you, who all is born again here tonight? Looky there. Oh my gosh, you all qualify. Hey, you are all pre-qualified. I bless you now. You are all pre-qualified in Christ to go and start laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. So if you've been waiting for a word from God, here's your word. Go heal the sick. You got your prophetic word. Hallelujah. You've got your prophetic word now. A prophetic voice said, go heal the sick. You've got your word. Now you can go do it. Hallelujah. For those that just needed a word, you've got your word. Just go do it. Go heal the sick. There's your word. Hallelujah. But you know, there was a part of this that the Lord really highlighted to me. And I know I'm probably taking the liberty here, but the Lord said I could do it. There is a place where it's talking about in verse 9, and it's talking about the sons and daughters coming from afar, and they're bringing their silver and gold with them. Hallelujah. And what I felt the Lord tell me over there when I looked at that, it was this, that the sons and daughters, those that have been offended by religion, and they're by the wayside, and they've walked far away from the Lord, the sons and daughters, the prodigals are coming home. Yes. God's sons and daughters. And they're coming back into places like this where they're going to be loved and embraced. But don't you love it? They're going to bring their wealth with them. Hallelujah. I believe there are people out there that's been making money and they thought it was for them. But God has plans for the kingdom. And when they come in and God heals and restores their spirit, because their spirits have been broken because of religion. You know, somebody said to me recently, oh, I've been so hurt by religion. I'm like, well, who hasn't been hurt by religion? Let's talk about it. If you've spent 10 minutes in a church, you've been hurt by religion. Come on. And so it says, the Lord is saying, get ready. He's going to bring his sons and daughters. And I'm going to reiterate for those that weren't here this afternoon, the word came forth that God was going to bring forth an apostolic center for the Glory Company. And he was going to bring in the sons and the daughters that have been hurt by religion and have been rejected. And this is the season God's going to bring his prodigals home. But he's going to bring them to a safe place. He's not going to put them back in a religious institution that is going to totally destroy them. So he's going to bring them home. And I'm looking at a company of healers. Yes, God's going to, he's going to use each one of you to heal physical bodies. Absolutely. But he's also going to use you to heal the souls of the broken. This is going to be a healing place. A healing place. I am looking at a group of healers. And God is going to do great things through this glory company. He's going to do great things through your lives. And for those of you that are not a part of this company, wherever you are, God is going to do great things with you. Hallelujah. So he says that he's going to bring them in, and they're going to bring their wealth with them. It says, because he has beautified and glorified those that have been broken. He is going to beautify them, and he's going to glorify them. We're going to put the robe back on them. We're going to put the crown back on their head. We're going to put the ring of authority. We're going to give them their authority back. And we're going to give them their shoes that's got the gospel of the preparation of good news, of the gospel. Their feet are going to be shod with the gospel and with the testimony of how God has restored them. Get ready for it. You are about to see God do great things in Britain and in the United Kingdom. And I believe when I was praying about coming here, this is what the Lord said. He said that he was going to restore the spiritual influence of the United Kingdom. You guys gave us William Carey, who started the mission move. Hudson Taylor, who made such an impact in China. You gave us John and Charles Wesley. You gave us the Welsh Revival and Evans Roberts, which because of the seeds of his connection in sending letters to Frank Bartleman, who was then became attached to the Azusa Street Revival, we saw the Azusa Street Revival. The Lord said he's going to restore. And this is the two groups he gave me. Interesting. He said, I'm going to restore their spiritual influence, but I'm also going to restore their natural influence. He said, it will be like Twiggy, who influenced a whole industry. Hey, I wasn't even a teen when Twiggy came out, and she influenced a whole industry. A whole industry changed because of this one British woman. And he said, the Beatles, just like the Beatles changed the sound of music. He said, I'm going to raise up out of this nation those who will be influencers for the kingdom and for the good. So God's restoring your spiritual influence. He's going to restore your voice. It's been quiet, and you've had all those big mouth Americans. I can say that because I am a big mouth American. But what he's going to do is he's going to restore the voice of Britain once again. And it's going to be you guys coming over to us. It's going to be you guys going to the nations and releasing. You used to be the number one missionary sender nation. And I believe that God is going to restore that back to you, that you are going to start sending out men and women of God that are going to affect the nations. So he's going to start stirring things. And what he just showed me was out of this group and company, there are going to be many that will go to the nations. For those of you that are carrying a nation vision, get ready. And I'm not talking about some of you might be called to be missionaries. Some of you might, hey, there might be Heidi Bakers in here tonight that will go and change the face of a nation. But I'm also saying that it will be you going places for a couple weeks, going here and going there and carrying your influence and the seed of revival and taking it to the nations. That God's restoring your spiritual influence once again. And I feel the Lord saying he's going to lift up your heads. He's going to lift up your heads. You know, there's a thing. When people are shamed, their heads go down. But the scripture tells us in Psalms 3, he is the glory and the lifter of our heads. He's going to start lifting your heads once again. He's going to restore. When I say pride, I don't mean that in a negative, proud, resisting God. But I just mean he's going to restore your the word would be pride. But I mean this in a good way. He's going to restore your pride and being a Briton. He's going to restore your pride in being a man and woman of God that has something to offer the nations, because you do. And the nations are going to be crying out to hear your voice once again. So I just want to speak and release that word over you. God is going to restore, and he's going to raise up those from this place. There's going to be a great company out of this glory company. You're going to be multiplied. God's going to start bringing in people. The word today was he was going to bring in the workers. He was going to bring in the building, and he was going to bring in the finances. And it's not going to be through hard labor. One of the things my mentor, Ruth Heflin, always taught us was this: the glory brings ease. Let the glory bring forth ease. Ease in the glory of God. I was with her years ago in Israel, living there with her, and one night she wrote that song, "Let the glory bring forth ease." I was in a service one night, and they were singing. I'm like, I was there the night she read that. She wrote that. Hallelujah. But it was, let the glory bring forth ease. Ease in the glory. Let the glory bring forth ease. Ease in the Spirit of God. I love your ways, O Lord. Your ways are in the heavenlies. I love your ways, O Lord. Your ways are in the clouds. Let your glory bring forth ease. She always would say to us, the glory brings forth ease. When there's an atmosphere of the glory, you don't have to push. You don't have to try to force something. Things begin to happen in the glory. There's miracles. Everything you need, it's in the glory. So that atmosphere that we had here a little bit earlier, listen, train yourselves that if you need something and you feel that presence, how many of you felt that hovering, weighty kabod? The glory, the kabod was in the house. We need to train ourselves that we don't wait for a word of knowledge or for the man or woman of God to pray for us, but in that atmosphere, we just reach out and take it. Because it's ours from the glory. It's the manifest presence of God. And in that atmosphere, there are miracles. In that atmosphere, there's healings. In that atmosphere, there's financial miracles. It's in that atmosphere that we can really cry out to God. And in that atmosphere, I was praying and calling in that 3,000 pounds that insurance company's trying to keep from you guys. So I was calling that in tonight. There was a situation and this insurance, they took out insurance on this thing, and now the company is trying to withhold that 3,000 pounds. So I was just calling it in. We call it in, Father. Whoa. Woo. Man, I don't know, but all of a sudden, man, when I said that, it got real heavy up here. Whoa. Hallelujah. So I'm just speaking and releasing what God is, because the Lord wants you to get a hold of something so much greater. He wants you to get a vision for your life of the greatness of God inside of you, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and will quicken your mortal body. He'll quicken you with life, and he'll also quicken you with the anointing and the power of God to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, bring the backslidden home, bring the prodigals in, and bring healing and restoration to the broken. That's what we're called to do. This is a season of Isaiah 61 where the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon us. And we're going to preach the good news, and we are going to bind up the brokenhearted, and we're going to restore sight to the blind. That's not just spiritual sight, but that is natural sight. That is sight. That is the miraculous. But it's also spiritual sight, because one of the things the enemy has been doing, he's been gouging out people's spiritual eyes. I've been preaching on a scripture, and it's 1 Samuel chapter 11. It's the story of Nadab. And Nadab was an Ammonite, and he was an evil, evil man. And he came to the men at Jabesh Gilead, and he said, I'm going to take you. And well, they knew they were outnumbered by him, and they said, okay, fine, you can have us. We'll be your slaves. But he wasn't satisfied with that. And by the way, Nadab means serpent or snake. So he's a type of the devil. And so he said to the men of Jabesh Gilead, not only will you be my slaves, but I'm going to gouge out your right eyes and make you a reproach. So anytime in the scriptures you see right eye, it always is talking about spiritual sight and perception. So what the enemy wants to do is come in and gouge out your spiritual sight and your perception. He's not satisfied he's got you in bondage and drugs. Oh, no. He's not satisfied he's got you in sexual addiction. Oh, no. He wants to gouge out your spiritual eyes, your spiritual perception, because without your spiritual perception, you will never see the way out, and you will never see the potential of God inside of you. So he comes to gouge out your spiritual eyes. And thank God, what happened is they told Saul, Saul hadn't been made king yet. And it's interesting, what was a negative circumstance convinced the people that Saul was the right man to be king. Because the chapter before, they all come together and they're looking for Saul to make him king. And they couldn't find him. And they said, Lord, where is Saul? And the Lord said, he's hiding behind the baggage. Listen, no more hiding behind the baggage. Your stuff and your issues. Time to deal with the stuff. Time to deal with the baggage. God's not going to let you take that into the new season. He said if you get stuck, if you stay in the past, you'll never have your tomorrow. If you can't let go of yesterday, you'll never possess what he has for you tomorrow. You'll never have a future if you get stuck in the past. I prayed for a woman one night. Her son had died 10 years before. And she came up to me and said, can you please pray for me? I have been stuck for 10 years since he died. And the thing is, a spirit of grief came in. You know, there is a grieving process that is natural. Then a spirit of grief will come and it will take possession of your life. And so we prayed and we broke that off of her life. But for 10 years, she was stuck, could not move forward beyond the day that her son died. Many of God's people are stuck. They're stuck in their baggage. They're stuck in their stuff. And they're not allowing God to deal with it. Listen, sometimes it's just better to let the Lord bring the big knife, do a quick cut, let the pus, let the infection, let the yuck out so that you can heal up. But we are so protective. Oh no, I don't want anyone to know that ugliness is inside of me. Hey, get real. We all see it already. You're the only one that's deceived. We already see the stuff. And by the way, we all have stuff. You know, and this is another thing God's been speaking to me about, transparent leaders. Listen, leaders are not perfect. They have stuff too. But what's happened is they've come across as being perfect, but they're insecure. So they've controlled and manipulated people and caused people to be so wounded because they were so threatened. Some of you are very gifted in God, and your leaders were threatened. And so what they had to do was shut you down because that insecurity was so strong in them. They thought, if they look good, I'm going to look bad. So they had to shut you down. God's healing that. Some of you have been so wounded by leaders, and your gift, what happened is your gift went dormant because of their jealousy and their manipulation, and you were made to feel like there was something wrong with you. I even had a woman tell me the other night, I was talking to her, ministering to her, and she told me this one leader had so shut her down. She has incredible seeing gift, and that this leader was so threatened by her, he started saying to her, that's not God. That's the devil. The devil gave you that gift. Now, she was able to see what darkness was up to, as well as what the light was up to. And of course, the enemy had to shut her down. So she went into such a place where that gift shut down for quite a period of time. So for those of you that have had that happen to you, the Lord is healing you in this season. And he's going to activate, the word this afternoon was, he's going to activate and accelerate those gifts, those anointings, and those callings. Not just activate, accelerate. which means those gifts are going to operate at a level greater than they've ever operated at before. That is good news. So we see Saul, he's hiding behind the stuff. He's hiding behind the baggage. Listen, let God deal with your baggage. If you want God to use you, you're going to have to let him deal with your baggage. Because if you don't, those issues will always stand in your way from receiving everything that God has for you. We can't afford it anymore. And you know what? Sometimes we just have to go. There's a scripture in James chapter 5, and it says, for those of you that are in bondage, and it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you might be healed. So that doesn't mean you go confess your stuff to everybody. You know, women, find one or two friends, somebody trustworthy, men. Men and women, don't be going to each other and telling each other this stuff. It would be very inappropriate. So women, you find one or two women that are mature and you just go and you say, look, I've really struggled with this. Confess it. Let them pray for you and get healed up. Men, issues, anything. Listen, this sexual thing is really big in America. I don't know what it's like here, but there are men sitting in church. They figure the percentages. Really, I think I heard it was 80 to 90% of sexual addictions in the church. I heard a statistic. I lived in Atlanta in the big Southern Baptist area, all through the South, the Southern Baptist. And they were following all these different conventions around the United States. And they were marking whenever the pornography went up, you know, you can rent it in your rooms, disgustingly enough. So you can rent it from your hotel room. And they found out the number one convention when they went from city to city was the Southern Baptists. So these men would sit in these meetings and have these big conventions all about God and the church and church growth and go back to their rooms and watch pornography. Number one group. How embarrassing. But you know what? They're addicted. And so what we need to do is when we have things, we go to someone and say, hey, I'm struggling. Listen, it doesn't matter what it is. Sin is sin is sin. It's man that says that's a big sin, that's a little sin. By the way, lying is just as wrong as anything else. And we stretch the truth. There's this thing about evangelists. They'll say they're evangelistic. They stretch the truth. I had a friend that was on a mission trip, and we were at Last Days Ministry together years ago, and she was from Italy, and she was a real woman of integrity, and she came in and said, Christina, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. She said, I don't know what to do about this. She said, I just got the newsletter from the trip that we were on, this mission trip, and she said, these are lies. This stuff did not happen. She said, what do I do about it? I said, Anna, you can go to the leaders, but good luck, because what's happened is we have made numbers that we've made ministry about numbers, and that's how we gauge God's success. So if more people are healed, so if only 10 were healed, but we lie and say 60 were healed, they'll give bigger offerings. You see, because people will not give to a failure, they'll only give to a success. Where there's real fruit. But if they're lying about that fruit, hey. So she said, this stuff did not happen. They're claiming healings and stuff. And she said, it did not happen. So they were a little evangelistic. And so the thing is, you really need to pray where you give your money. Because God does not see as man sees. He's not looking at numbers. He's looking at fruit. He's looking at integrity. He's looking at purity. By the way, purity does matter. There is an extreme grace message going around, and I have problems with it. But John Paul Jackson recently told a story. And it just, I'll be honest with you, it put the fear of God in me. And he said that he was hearing about this young man that was teaching extreme grace message. And he said this young man would go to these youth conferences and would talk about grace and say, this is how much freedom we have and how much grace. And he would take his middle finger, which we know in America means bad stuff. How many of you know what that means? Okay, it would mean what? It means the same. Okay, that middle finger, you know, yeah, Yeah, the bird. The bird. Anyhow, I don't know how to explain this. Yeah. So anyhow, he would, in the middle of preaching to this youth, stick his finger up to God and just flip off the Lord and say, see, that's what grace gives us the power to do. And so this man of God was very distressed by this. And so he went to the and hunted the young man down. And he said, young man, I've been in this a long time. You know, we need to listen to our fathers in the faith who've been around the block a few times and can save us a lot of trouble and a lot of mistakes. And so he went to this young man. He said, you know, you need to stop that. That is not grace. And he said, God is still God. The fear of the Lord is something we are to have in our lives. And he said, you need to stop this because, see, he's ministering this to youth. And so anyhow, this young man said, I'm not listening to you, basically. He said, you're part of the old, you're the old school, you're religious and stuff. And this man of God said, let me tell you something. I would have said punk, but anyhow, he said, let me tell you something, young man. He said, 10 years from now, nobody will remember you, but I will still be going strong. So the thing is, we need to deal with things, but we also need to recognize God is holy. Purity does matter. And the thing is, the Lord, we are to reverence him. Yes, he is our papa. Hallelujah. We can go sit on his lap, but he is still God. And we are to, you know, one of the seven spirits of God is the fear of the Lord. And for those that need wisdom, what does it say in Proverbs? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you need wisdom, we need to cultivate that. I constantly pray, God, please, I want to cultivate the fear of the Lord. I never want to step boundaries over in the spirit realm. I don't want to go too far. I don't want to lose my fear of you because it will keep me on the straight and narrow. And that doesn't mean we're not talking to be afraid of God. What we're talking about, reverence, that he is holy. We were singing tonight, holy, holy, holy. I could just feel that in the spirit. God just putting that in our hearts as we were singing holy. He was giving revelation of his holiness. He is holy. He is looking for a pure people. He's going to be dealing with our motives. There's so many people that the Lord has been dealing with financially. How many of you over the past 10, 15 years have been in a really hard financial crunch? Okay. Probably most of you have had prophetic words about finances and being a giver. Almost every person I know that's had that word and are called to be kingdom givers have had such a hard season. But let me tell you why. It's because God is stripping us and he's going through and dealing with the motives of our hearts. Because he doesn't want us to be lovers of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. We see corporations, we see people, we see ministries and ministers wrapped up in the love of money. I have been in services where the offering, the way they took the offering, it was just sinful. The way they manipulated people and tried to get money out of people. And the thing is, so the Lord is sifting our motives because he is looking for our hearts to be right because he's ready to bring a transference of wealth. He's getting ready to do it. You're going to see it. But not every believer is going to be on the receiving end of that. He's looking for those that will say, Lord, I want to build your kingdom. Yes, it's okay for you to be blessed. Absolutely. God has no problems with you being blessed. Some years ago, I'll never forget, Benny Hinn said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Benny, I'm going to run millions and millions and millions of dollars through your hands as long as you don't get sticky fingers. What's God is God's. And then he gives us a portion and we're blessed. Absolutely. He has no problem with us having nice things. But things have had us. Money and the desire for wealth has taken possession. We are never called to chase money. Never, never. The scripture says when word about the Father's business, the blessing of the Lord will come. It will follow us. We're not to chase it. We got it backwards. So these are some of the things. So I just want to encourage you, if you've been sifted, if God's been dealing with you and giving you words over the years about finances and you've not had 2 pounds to rub together, you are probably a real good candidate for the wealth transfer. Now, for those of you that God's not even been speaking to you about finances, I'd be a little concerned. Hey, maybe you've already dealt with that. Hallelujah. But I know so many people that have been in that place where God's been dealing with them about finances and about motives, because the bottom line is it all comes down to motives, doesn't it? Why do we do what we do? And it is the God weighs the motives of our hearts. He's weighing the motives. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason and lose your reward. Or you can do the right thing for the right reason and receive a harvest and a blessing from it. So I just want to encourage you. The season has changed. We are in a new season. We're not waiting for it. We've already stepped into it. This Rosh Hashanah, we stepped over into something new and something greater. And so just be expecting it. Let your expectors be so strong, be pregnant with expectation. Let the Lord just birth that in you, because with that expectation then comes the faith to believe, if God says it, I can have it. If you can see it, you can be it. If you can look at your life and yourself through eyes of faith and see yourself out there healing the sick, raising the dead, if you can see it, you can be it. That is a spiritual principle. And the Lord wants us to have these things. He wants us to be out, because God is ready to bring his kingdom to earth like never before. The babies are going to be coming in, but it's going to take mamas and daddies to take care of the babies. Years ago, I worked in an orphanage in Mexico. And in this orphanage, there were all these little babies. And because of the bad water in Mexico, these babies would get chronic diarrhea. And so what would happen is they had paid Mexican workers. And their job, I was supposed to just be helping them. But I would be in there at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was in this little room with no windows for 8 hours a day. This went on for months. And so the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, Christina, before I went there, he said, I need to do a work in you. Do you want a fast work, or do you want me to take three to five years, or do you want me to do a fast work? Well, he knows me. I'm all for the quick work. It's like, okay, put me through hell for 3 months. Just let me get it over with and get it behind me. And so he sticks me in this orphanage. And so the Mexican workers that were paid and supposed to be helping me, they would rotate. So one paid one, and then I was the free one. Anyhow, about 9 o'clock in the morning, they'd say, I go get Coke, because they couldn't speak English and I couldn't speak Spanish. So they would say to me in their broken English, I go get Coca-Cola. And I'm thinking, okay, the store's 5 minutes up the street. 8 hours later, they still weren't back. And I'm thinking, did you go to Texas to get that Coke? Where did you go to get that Coke? And so I'd be in there with these little babies and the chronic diarrhea, and, you know, they'd be crying and I have to feed them. And I'm telling you what, that was hard on my flesh. And I would go up at night and they had an open roof where you could go pray. And I'd say, God, one night I said, that's it, I'm done. After being in there all day, and what happened is, you know, all these chronic diarrhea and stuff. And this has to do with babies, by the way. It's like, where's she getting, what's she telling this story for? Because what happened was, they would all have this thing, and so, you know, changing their diapers. And the one day, the one was being really quiet, and he was usually pretty active. And I noticed he was just very engrossed. So I thought, okay, fine. So I'm trying to take care of these other wins and everything. Well, I thought, wait a minute, what is he doing over there? And, you know, they were all from like about 6 months to about 2 years. There was 5 or 6 of them. And so he was really engrossed, and I go over there, oh my goodness, here what happened is he had a mistake in his pants, and it ran out of his diaper, and he was taking it and rubbing it all over the crib. So not only did I have to hose him down, I had to go hose down the crib and everything like that. So that day was just, I mean, my flesh was so pressed. How many of you know God will just press your flesh to kill you? And so I went up that night, and I was up on that roof, and I said, that's it, God, I'm done. I said, Jesus, get me out of here. Scotty, beam me up. Somebody hear me and get me out of here. And I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I said, God, you're killing me here. He said, you got it. And I thought, oh, fine. And this is what he spoke to me. He said, Christina, I am not interested in your comfort, but I am very interested in your character. And you know what? God doesn't really care about our comfort, but he does care about our character. And so sometimes he'll allow us to be uncomfortable. I was spent 3 months of great discomfort down in Mexico. That was very hard on me. I was always single and dependent. Now I'm tied down with someone else's kids, like six of them, 12 hours a day in this tiny little room. But the Lord knew exactly what it would take, because after the Lord was done and he sent me back to the United States, I was around family and friends and they were like, wow, there's been such a change in you. And I said, yeah, God took me to Mexico and killed me down there. My corpse is still down there. But you know what? I'm so thankful he did it. So the Lord will do things. He'll kill things in us that he knows down the road will destroy our destiny, but will also destroy others. And so the thing is, he's getting ready to bring in the babies. He's going to bring in newborns. And let me tell you what, just like those babies in Mexico, babies are messy. So get ready to clean up some doo-doo. I sure did. I cleaned up more doo-doo probably than most mothers that had multiple children changing diapers. And the thing is, though, there are messes. So newborn believers, what they'll do is you'll pray for them, you'll get them delivered, you'll get them saved and everything, and then 2 months later they'll say, oh, guess what? I'm back on drugs. I gave in. And so you have to work with them again and again. So the babies are going to come in, but this time the Lord is going to make sure that the church is ready and that we're not going to destroy these babies. We're not going to destroy them. We're going to raise them up in the power and anointing of God. And we're going to see them accelerate and do things in the kingdom that is just going to be amazing. They're going to be saved 2 and 3 years and they're going to be doing things. But the good news is, not only is there going to be an acceleration for the babies, there's going to be an acceleration for the mamas and the papas. Hallelujah. So this is a new season. And the Lord is just, when I was praying about this season, the Lord said, Christina, you really encourage the people not to look at past seasons and think this is the way it's going to be. Because if you expect things to stay the same, guess what you're going to get? Things are going to stay the same. So my encouragement to you is believe God for the bigger thing. Believe him for the manifestations of the glory, the presence of God in your life. Believe him for the angelic visitations. Believe him for the supernatural. Believe him, believe him. It is your inheritance. One thing God has really, really shown me over these past several years was the supernatural is every one of our inheritance. We have a will and a testament. And the will says, when Jesus went, so someone died, the scripture says in Hebrews, one died, so we've got the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And before he was taken up to heaven, he said, these signs are going to follow those that believe. In my name, they're going to do great things. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. They're going to take something up deadly and it's not going to hurt them. They're going to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and we know that is demonic things, and they will not hurt us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do exploits. Jesus said we're going to do greater things. The fact of the matter is most of us haven't even started stepping into what Jesus did. But we're in a season now, not only are we going to start doing what Jesus did, we're going to do the greater stuff. So I want to encourage you. We're in a new season at a time. We don't have to live like we did in the past, defeated. We don't have to live as failures. We don't have to just think, oh, well, it's only delegated to a few big men and women of God, you know, with big ministries. No, no, no. It's for you to do it. It's the same God, the same anointing, the same spirit that was in Christ. It's in you. And because he's in us and we're in him, we're seated in heavenly places with him. That's why he's trying to get us the revelation of these things, the finished works of the cross, that he already did the work. All we have to do is just enter into it, believe it, and you can have it. Without faith, it's possible to please God. So we need to have faith. So I'm here to stir your faith to believe him for the greater thing, not just to be doing what Jesus did, and that's awesome. But most of us aren't even there. But there's greater things. And I'll tell you a greater thing. There's an example of a greater thing that the scripture tells us in Acts, the book of Acts, about 5 or 6, that Jesus never did. And that was to walk down a street and his shadow heal people. But Peter did. Hello. That overshadowing of the glory caused that overshadow. He would walk by and that overshadowing of the glory would heal the sick. And they said they laid them on the streets, litters of them, litters. And just his shadow touching them, the overshadowing of the glory, just that overshadowing, it would cause them all to be healed. So that's a greater thing right there, because Jesus never did that. So the potential out there to see incredible things is there. And this is a company that's going to have these things. You're going to be known. I feel the Lord saying that you're going to have a reputation and you're going to be known as a company that carries the glory, manifests the glory, and does the stuff. They're going to bring the sick to you. And they're going to be healed. They're going to bring demon-possessed people to you. And they're going to be set free. They're going to bring the lost and the hopeless to you. And they're going to be healed and restored. They're going to bring the broken unto you. And you're going to bind up their wounds. And they're going to be restored. And their dignity and their calling and their gifts are going to be restored. And they're going to take their place beside you in the harvest field. And you are going to work together. So it's no more. It's no more just sitting back on a pew. Listen, so many pastors and leaders, I worked for a ministry. And the attitude of the pastor was basically, I want all of you to sit down and shut up and give me your tithe. I don't care about your gifts. I don't care about your calling. I don't care. I want you to support me and my vision. And guess what? People were leaving by droves. So one day we had this meeting, and there were thousands of people coming and thousands going. And so he said one day, he called this meeting, and he said, hey, does anybody know what we can do? They're coming in the front door, but how do we close that back door? Oh, you don't know. My hand just about went up, and I about said, well, maybe, you know, if you made it about them and their vision and not just about your vision. But he didn't care. All he cared about was training and equipping for the fulfillment of his vision. People aren't content. How many of you are content sitting on a pew and doing nothing anymore? No, we're done. And those days of being pew setters, they're over. And a lot of ministers and pastors do not like this new move because it's destroying, it's messing with their kingdom and their vision. But you know what? Each one of you have been given a kingdom purpose and a kingdom vision. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have, I was going to have, I'm going to have Matt and Pearl come up and stand with me. And what we're going to do is we're going to anoint you with oil. And what we're going to do and declare over you, yeah, maybe, oh boy, that don't look good. Look at Matt. We might need some propers to hold him up. But what we're going to do is we're going to anoint you for your new season. And we are going to pray activation over your gifts, your anointings, and your callings. And what we're going to do is we're going to believe God to activate you tonight with kingdom vision. Kingdom vision. And that you're going to get a vision for your life and the destiny that God has, because every one of you here are ministers. And the Lord wants you to get a vision for your minister. For your ministry, we are all ministers of reconciliation. Every single believer is a minister of the gospel, not just the person holding the microphone. So our goal is that we're going to pray, we're going to activate you, and we're going to believe God with you to stir you, to activate those gifts, and stir you with kingdom purpose and vision, and get you so drunk tonight, you're not even going to be able to, you're not going to know where you are or who you are. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and I'm going to get out the oil, and we're just going to have you come up, and we are just going to pray, and we're going to activate you, and we're going to believe. When we lay hands on you, what we're saying is, we believe in you. We believe that you are called, you are anointed and appointed by God. We're going to call into activation your gifts and your anointing, and we're going to recognize you as a minister of the gospel. That's what we're going to do. Because I am looking at a group, a company of ministers who are going to do great things and not just affect Horsham, but they're going to affect the UK and, I believe, nations. Hallelujah. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord.